Aha! When was the last time you had an aha moment? A time when you discovered a truth which you were so certain of. You exclaimed it with both your voice and your body. Aha! It's not all that common. Some people may express it a little bit differently, with different words. Yes! Or with different gestures. On the tennis court, come on! Yes! Whatever the form, one thing remains the same when we have an aha moment. We experience a certainty so profound, we unself-consciously acknowledge it with our bodies. There's a visceral certainty to our insight. We know it is true in both our mind and in our body. This is the closest I've come to understanding the person and the faith of John the Baptist. He experienced an aha moment that inspired his life and his ministry of preaching and proclamation. And I wouldn't have gotten this understanding if it hadn't been for your kind invitation for me to come here today. So thank you. Really, thank you. In many Christian circles, tomorrow, June 24th, it's the day that commemorates the birth of John the Baptist. In the Catholic tradition, he's one of only two saints for whom there's a feast day celebrating a birth, a birthday, the other being Mary on September 8th. Jesus doesn't count. He's more than a saint. This makes John the Baptist pretty special. And yet, truth be told, until a couple weeks ago, I never really thought much about John the Baptist. And when I started asking some of my friends and other folks I know at the GTU what they thought of him, the usual answer was, well, not much. He's a little fuzzy to me, said one friend. An acquaintance remarked, is that the dude who ate locusts and honey? Whoa. I admit, I agree. Locusts and honey don't really charge up or feed my faith, no pun intended. He may be an important figure in the Christian tradition, but it can be challenging to find a way to make him approachable. For me, it has been challenging to understand how he fits into my personal faith. I'd certainly heard stories about John the Baptist, the preacher, the one crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. I'd seen Martin Scorsese's film, The Last Temptation of Christ, and found the depiction of John intellectually interesting. He's a charismatic preacher who brought followers into a frenzied state. As a historian, I find that stuff fascinating. But as a person of faith, not so much. I haven't been sure of how to incorporate that charismatic frenzy into my own faith. Then there's the way John died. I love going to art museums, and I've seen a lot of paintings depicting his beheading or the presentation of his head on a platter. And frankly, usually I turn away as fast as I can. Oh, I might go up close to explore the technique of the painting. But as a point of faith, again, I wasn't moved to want to get close to that part of his story. And naturally, I knew the story of him leaping in his mother's womb when he heard Mary speak. But that passage precedes the Magnificat in the book of Luke. And my attention always jumped ahead to those beautiful lines, my soul magnifies the Lord. So, while I was aware of John's existence in the Christian story, I can't say I ever really thought about him in terms of what he meant for my faith. Never took the time to reflect on him or to find meaning in his life for my own personal faith until a couple weeks ago, when I submitted the scripture passages and the sermon title for today. I thought this exercise would be good for me. And it has been. First, I turned to doing some research, since that's what I'm most comfortable with, and I compiled a list of scripture passages that refer to John the Baptist. And I've included this list. You can find it in your bulletin. It's a partial list. It's not complete. But it gave me a starting point, a place of reflection, those passages in scripture that refer to John. What we know about him factually is rather slim. We know that he was born to older parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and he was just slightly older than his cousin Jesus. Between the years 27 and 29 of the Common Era, or in other words, the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, John was inspired by the Word of God and became an itinerant preacher with a message of baptism, of repentance, and forgiveness of sins. He was imprisoned and executed by the Emperor Herod, but the reasons for this vary. In Scripture, in the book of Mark, John is beheaded for his criticism of Herod's marriage to Herodias, who was Herod's niece, as well as his brother's former wife. But a contemporary historian, Josephus, links the execution to Herod's fear of rebellion. He says Herod thought John was instilling rebellion. So the details around John's life and his death, as my friend said, are somewhat fuzzy. In continuing my research, I learned that the words used by the gospel writer that we know as Luke are almost identical to the words used by writers affiliated with the ascetic sect known as the Essenes in Qumran. Both refer to a prophet as the voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Some people think John was a member of the Essenes. And finally, he is said in Christian scriptures to have recognized Jesus when Jesus arrived at the River Jordan and that John baptized Jesus, fully knowing who he was. These are just a few of the many glimpses of this figure known as John the Baptist from the sources dating from around the time he lived. Some pieces are factual, some pieces are open to interpretation. Later writers would amplify his personal profile, making him understandable to later contemporaries. He is described in the Quran as a man bestowed with wisdom, grace, and purity, who grew up to be a righteous man, who honored his parents, and was neither arrogant nor rebellious. And many centuries later, in the 15th century, one writer wrote that John was a school of virtue. Not a man of virtue, a school of virtue, a master of living, a form of holiness. John is more than a man, equal to angels, wrote this man. The sum of law, the beginning of the gospel, the voice of the apostles, the silence of prophets, the light of the world, and the midpoint of the Blessed Trinity. This writer has amplified what he knew from Scripture to meet the needs of his audience, that is, to make John the Baptist understandable to his own audience. How easy it seems to have been for a medieval writer to make their subject so accessible, so knowable, so approachable to their audiences. Today, I sometimes wonder if we are so stymied by our love of facts that we turn over the responsibility of storytelling to experts, either to scholars, biblical scholars, or artists or poets, professionals in their studies and their arts, so that we don't have to get close to making our faith our own through creating stories that make figures like John relevant. Who is John the Baptist? And how is he relevant to us in our faith? It's really up to each of us to answer these questions. Now, it's true that there is an art to hagiography, or telling the story of a saint. It is an art that allows for truths that may not be factual. These are spiritual truths that speak to a generation or even to a single person. While it is in our present awareness of intellectual integrity always prudent and essential to acknowledge when we are creating hagiography rather than analytically researched biography, the art form of understanding and creating awareness of human holiness is a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift that I believe is available to each of us if we are open to it, and if we open ourselves to it. My own understanding of John the Baptist in these last few weeks has shifted once my intention in facing these texts shifted. Once I decided that I wanted to create my own awareness of John's holiness so that I could convey that to you, I faced the text in a different way. First, I narrowed down the text. Gave you a long list of options for you to narrow down your selection. For me, I determined that the most compelling passage about John was found early on when he leapt within his mother's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. I started retelling that story in my own words, that passage that's found in Luke. Mary traveled to the hills of Judea to visit her cousin. She knocked on the door and said, "Hello? Anyone here? Anyone home? It's me, Mary." At that moment, Elizabeth heard Mary's voice. She stopped cooking and came to the door. And in that moment, the baby in her belly leapt. Elizabeth felt a chill run down her back, and she knew she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She ran to the door, hugged Mary, still holding Mary by the shoulders. Elizabeth beamed, and with tears running down her face, "Oh, it is so good to see you. As soon as I heard your voice, my baby leapt in my womb. Blessings to you. And blessings to your baby within you." Yes, my version is a little bit different from the version you're going to read in the canonical scriptures. And your version is going to be different too. Different words, different gestures. But when I sit with that passage and reflect on how this was lived out, this is what it looks like to me. Two pregnant women greeting one another, thrilled to see one another, flush with joy of life within themselves. And at least for one moment for Mary, not overcome with fear. Instead, she learns that the baby inside her cousin has leapt upon hearing her own voice. And this brings me to the crux of my understanding of John. He experienced faith in his body. He leapt. Even in the womb, he leapt. He experienced that aha certainty. After he was born, he may have experienced doubt. After all, he sent messengers to Jesus to find out, "Are you really the one? Do I really have to keep doing this? Are you the one, or can I stop doing this?" So he probably experienced some amount of doubt. But he preached with conviction. He spoke about his faith without arrogance, but with passion. His certainty came from his visceral awareness, his visceral certainty already in the womb of the one who would be the Messiah. Such visceral awareness feels to me to be a form of mysticism. Bernard McGinn, who is a renowned scholar, defines mysticism as the awareness of the presence of the divine. John experienced this awareness already in the womb and took this certainty and continued to experience this truth throughout his life. Last week, while I was still searching around, wondering what the key was to understanding John, I asked a librarian at the GTU what she thought about John. She smiled, and with a pause only long enough to reveal real reflection, she said, "Ah, John the Baptist, he had an unusual courage. He had the courage to stand up for his beliefs in a time when it was dangerous." With these words, she helped me understand John the Baptist for the first time. There is a calm and a peace-filled certainty, not infused with arrogance, but filled with the Holy Spirit that is born from this visceral certainty of truth. That visceral certainty that caused him to leap while still in the womb. E.E. Cummings once wrote, "To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. To be yourself, filled with conviction, understanding, without arrogance, takes a special capacity." John's leap is an indication to me that he had this capacity already in the womb. Sure, I had read and heard that passage over and over again, but only in recent days have I allowed myself to enter into that story enough to make it my own and discover the profound teaching it offers. What a wonderful tradition we have that celebrates the certainty of faith experienced by an infant still in the womb. The certainty of faith that was expressed by an infant leaping for joy. So tomorrow, on the feast day that commemorates John the Baptist's birthday, I'm going to be considering him in new light. Rather than celebrating with somber prayer or locusts and honey, I think I may just take to the air and leap with joy. What better way is there to remember John the Baptist and to celebrate once again, finding a faith that I can call my own, than to leap with joy? And as I often do here, I'm going to end with asking you a question. How will you celebrate the birthday of John the Baptist? That is a story only you can tell. And that is a faith only you can live.